Hello, my name is Mike Goldman, and welcome to On The Mic. This very good-looking young man in front of me is Dale Beaumont. He travels the globe telling people what to do with their lives, how to make their lives better, how to increase their business sales, and he's just an all-around good guy. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause from our studio audience at one for Dale Beaumont.
Hey!
How the hell are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Man, you got an interesting life, haven't you? You got your charity, Hands Across the Water.
I do.
You've got this new app that you've developed, which is like AI for business called Brin.
Yeah.
That sounds so exciting. And you've just finished a national tour. How was the tour? Are you like a rock star just coming off the end of a tour? Like you need to go to rehab for a while?
Until I get home and my wife says, put the garbage bins out.
Okay. Yeah. Back to reality.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sucks. That's good. How did it go?
It went really well. We went down to Melbourne, then up to Brisbane, back to Sydney, off to Auckland just to finish the final leg, but went really, really well. Love meeting entrepreneurs and business owners from around Australia and hearing all the different things that people do. And sometimes you go, is there a business in that? But at the end of the day, I think the core of core challenges that business owners face is sort of the same. You know, how do I generate leads? How do I kind of work less? How do I earn more? Mm-hmm. How do I use technology to improve my business? Mm. So that's really the things that I focus on.
How did you get into this business? How did you become a motivational speaker or a business / life coach?
Yeah, so I'll give you the sort of, try not to make it too long, but I used to be a gymnast. And so I learned about the value of kind of having a coach
early on. Gymnast?
Yeah, I represented New South Wales and then later Australia in gymnastics and then competed.
So like on the rings and the pommel horse and all
that stuff?
Really?
Yeah. So I trained at the State Centre in Homebush, but also down at the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra. Wow. So I started at the age of 7. By the age of 9, I was training 36 hours a week in the gym on top of going to school from the age of 9. So it pretty much takes over your life. And it was pretty much most of my childhood. Mm-hmm. But it taught me a lot of lessons. Taught me about hard work, taught me about discipline, taught me about delayed gratification. But the most important thing it taught me was the value of having a coach.
Yeah.
Every professional athlete knows this, but sadly not many people or business owners do. So when I finished school, I just then was my next kind of thought was, how do I find coaches for life? And so I was 18 years of age, or 18, 19, and then I started to go along to Tony Robbins, Robert Kiyosaki, Brandon Bay, Zig Ziglar, any kind of guru that came to town or was in town, Dr. John DeMartini.
And you just absorbed information, everything. You picked the best bits of it so you could help people. Because I mean, that's essentially what Anthony Robbins did as well.
Yeah.
He just read a gazillion books about coaching people.
And his mentor was Jim Rohn.
Jim Rohn is an amazing dude, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you watched his stuff online? Like on YouTube, you can Google Jim Rohn. Like he was one of the first motivational business speakers. He started out doing really well in business and got asked to speak at the Lions Club, the local Lions Club. He goes, "Yeah, I'll go along. That'll be fun." And then he was getting all these other invitations every week.
Exactly.
He goes, "Hang on a minute, this could be a business."
Yeah.
And he mentored people like Anthony Robbins and so many other speakers. So you've followed all these guys.
Yeah.
You've got all this information. You've seen how they're helping people. And you think,
"That's right.
I want to do this."
Yeah. And the first thought was all of their people in the audience, most of them were in their kind of 40s, 50s and 60s. And I was sort of 18, 19 at that stage.
Yeah.
I was like, my first thought was, where are all the other young people?
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if all of this information was taught to people when they were much, much younger?
Like in schools.
Exactly, in school. And so
they've got it all wrong at the moment. It's the same way that they've been doing it since the 50s or even before then.
Exactly.
Where everyone goes into a room and the teacher barks at them all day and they're not allowed to say anything. They ring a bell when they go in, ring a bell when they go to lunch. It's like working in a factory.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we were trained in schools. Well, not me personally, but that's how schools, the blueprint was set up all those years ago. So it was like you're a factory worker. But
that's right.
It needs to change drastically. And if that's the direction that you're heading with your workshops, that's amazing.
Yeah, so that's where I kind of like started. Mm. And it was taking all the stuff that I learned out there from all these gurus and going, how do we make it relevant for teenagers?
Mm.
So I started a company when I was 19 called Tomorrow's Youth. Mm-hmm. And it was a education company for young people, teaching things like goal setting, leadership, communication skills, money skills, all the things that school doesn't really focus on to try and fill in the gaps in their education.
Mm.
So by default, I then became a business owner as an entrepreneur because that's what you do when you have an idea and you want to kind of make it happen.
Mm.
And so I spent nearly 7 years actively working that business every single day. And along the way, you go, okay, we need customers, so we better learn learn how to market, and we need to know about how to manage our cash flow. So better learn about financial statements, and we need to learn about, you know, everything.
So that, but that was your business, taking this show on the road and, helping people with their businesses.
That's right. And we expanded into 7 countries, which was fantastic.
Wow,
and we
went from, so it's like a franchise, like you sort of like a like Action Coach, like Brad Sugars does, where you sort of you train people to be business coaches.
That's right. Yeah. For the first 7 years, we ran all the events ourselves, me and a guy I went to school with. So we teamed up and sort of took it on the road.
Yeah.
And then we ended up training a number of other people who now run our program still in Singapore and Malaysia and other places. And we still run events here in Australia as well. But that was my main focus for about 7 years. And then what happened after that is I sort of felt that the business world was changing. Basically, the Yellow Pages was kind of dying, and this thing came along called Google, and people were like, okay, how do I figure out how to learn this? And then Facebook, and then YouTube, and all these new platforms were beginning to emerge, and most business owners had no idea about how to make the shift from the old world to the new world. They just knew that the Yellow Pages weren't working, but they didn't know what to do instead. And so I set up a company called Business Blueprint, and the idea was to teach other business owners and entrepreneurs how to use new forms of marketing, how to use technology, how to use all the wonderful things that are now available in order to grow their business. So a lot of my clients are business owners in their sort of 40s, 50s, and 60s. They grew up without computers at home and in their classroom.
Yeah.
And now it's just like technology's been lumped on them. And
yeah,
it's
they
like,
have to
learn. Now you got to figure it out.
But and so many of them just go, oh, it's too bloody hard.
Yeah. And some of them give up. Sadly, some of them give up. However, many of them are at the age whereby they're sort of too young to retire, but they're too old to go back to university. And they need to learn this stuff.
Is retirement becoming a thing of the past?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think a lot of people are just working for as long as they want to. And I know a lot of people as well that retire, you know, 50, maybe have 3 years off, and then they go, okay, I'm just going to start working again. Or, you know, so I don't think that, I think people have time in and time out, and, you know, decide what they really, you know, want to do. So that's really, that started off as just a little kind of idea, but now it's grown into this little mini empire.
Great. We have, well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And we run programs now all over the country and have a lot of fun doing it. And we just love helping people.
Is that the biggest problem that businesses face today, just moving with the times?
Look, I think so. I think it's one of the overarching things is that business is fundamentally like changing. And we went, you know, before in the past, there was like 3 or 4 ways to reach customers, you know, radio, television, newspapers, and magazine. Now there's like, you know, 100 different
influencers
ways.
Influencers everywhere.
Exactly.
Influencers about everything. What are you influencing right now?
Yeah.
Are you under the influence? Most of the time, yes, I am. But yeah, it is a completely different world. I mean, I bring this up because there are guys that I interviewed when we first started this show, the High Smile guys, Nick and Alex.
Yes.
They do the teeth whitening. They're like 23 years old and they made like $50 million in a year because they use 20,000 influencers at one time.
Yeah.
They're paying 20,000 people from, you know, McGregor to the Jenners and Kardashians of the world. And they're obviously getting a cut too, or whatever that might be, but it's very, very different. And to wrap your head around that for someone who's in their 60s or your 50s that has a business, they have to, otherwise they're going to get left behind. Exactly. So is that one of the things that you...
Yeah, we teach digital marketing, having a good CRM system. We teach video marketing as well. If people want to get into, you know, doing podcasting, or they need to take their accounts into the cloud, just how to do things more efficiently, also building systems, social media, outsourcing is quite big.
Delegating.
Well.
You got to delegate.
You do.
You can't do everything yourself.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, like especially me, like when I'm starting a show, otherwise now I've got Frankie helping out over there. I was trying to do it all myself. You just can't. There's not enough hours in the day.
Exactly.
And some people, that's where their business just comes to a dead end. I've got one person, a mate of mine in particular, he's got the most amazing business model, but he's just not interested in having anyone else as a part of it to share the ride, because he thinks that other people will fuck it up. But he can just see it's only going to hit a point, and then he's just getting stuck.
Yeah, there's two mindsets that really hold back a lot of business owners. One is no one can do it as good as what I can, and the other one's it's faster if I do it myself.
Yeah, it's so true. I always that's what I think. Not that I don't love what you're doing, Frankie. Please don't take this personal.
But if you continue to believe those things to be true, you've immediately captured income earning potential because there's only one of you and so many hours in the day. And if you get stuck doing everything, you're only gonna have a small business. So I remember hearing a saying, well, it's pretty simple, but it's just like also pretty profound. And the saying is, if you can climb a mountain on your own, it's not a very big mountain. You know, you can climb Mount Kosciuszko on your own.
Yeah, you need a team.
You can't climb Mount Everest on your own. You need a team.
So unless like in Altered Carbon, where you can just duplicate yourself and make clones. You've been watching that on Netflix?
Haven't got into that one yet.
Oh, man, it's awesome. Frankie, do yourself a favor. It is a wicked show.
So what's it called?
It's called Altered Carbon. And like everyone has this little chip in the back of their neck, which is basically them, your brain and your life and everything like that. And
they can put
if
it
your
in
body
tablet.
Dies, you take it out and you stick it in another skin or another body or something. It's really cool.
And they just become that same person in a different body.
Yeah. And there's like these people who have been around for like 300 or 400 years and they've got all the money and all the rebels are trying to kill the guy with all the money, but he uploads his brain to the cloud by flicking it up. But anyway, so yeah, you can't do it all yourself.
You can't. You got to really kind of learn to let go. So part of it is when I work with entrepreneurs, it's specific tools that they can use. But other part of it is mindset and getting them over that idea that they have to do everything in their business. One of my mentors said to me once, you want to be the general of the army, not the soldier in the trenches. You know, you want to be the person that coordinates the activities, but you don't necessarily have to be always the person that doing.
And it's better food when you're the general as well.
Exactly.
You don't have to do all the dirty work.
Yeah.
That's but what right. about when everyone's decided they want to be a general? then what do we do?
Well, it's a little bit harder.
Now all the soldiers, if you're talking like that, all the soldiers are figuring out how to start their own businesses.
Yeah.
And I heard a quote the other day. I think it was like 30% of people will have their own business in the workforce in the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are becoming entrepreneurs. And that's... You know, part of how my business has grown is because that entrepreneurial sort of spirit is alive and well. I think you're right. Like one.
But people need coaching. They need mentors.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned your mentor before. Who's mentored you?
Lots of people. So in terms of...
And how do you ask someone to be your mentor? Is it a weird thing?
Yeah, not really. Like oftentimes I just reach out to someone and I oftentimes start with a compliment. You know, I really admire and respect what you've done. Mm. I've been following you for some time. You've already had a big impact, you know, on my life sort of personally. But I would really love to ask you a few questions. You know,
that's a great way to put it. Yeah. Actually, just flatter them at first and tell them they're amazing. Actually, that's a secret way that if I'm trying to get a job on TV or radio, like I'll hit up the program manager and say, man, I really admire what you're doing. It's can you stroke their ego first?
And it does help.
And then you just say, now I need this from you. Yeah. And they go, well, this guy loves me.
Yeah, that's cool. Right. It's much harder to say.
So, have you got any mentors that we know? Or are they just like business people like you?
Yeah, mainly just sort of business people. So, they wouldn't really be sort of household names, but you know, people like Brad Sugars, another one called Mitchell Harper.
Oh, I mentioned Brad before. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a mate of mine.
Yeah, there's some
known him forever.
Amazing people out there that have helped me over the years.
How cool is Brad Sugars? He'll probably watch this now. Hi, Brad.
Brad's an amazing guy. Yep. And
loves his 10 cane.
10 cane?
Yeah, it's a rum.
Oh, yeah, he's a big rum drinker.
Knows how to party, but I think he's curbed his partying ways lately because of he's got Lauren and the family.
That's right.
And the kids, beautiful
and
family.
New one on the way, so...
Another one? Exciting.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that pregnant. Having another one?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So they're going to have 4 kids now.
Mm-hmm. Five. With the two twins.
Oh, and
two
elders. And he's obviously got his daughters as well.
Yep, exactly. So two daughters, then the twins... And then a new arrival. So
have you seen his house in Vegas?
Oh, it's
like a casino.
It's incredible.
It's hilarious.
And when he does it up for like Halloween or Christmas.
You've been to one of those parties?
I know, just seen the Facebook Live videos.
Where's my invite to one of those parties? Hey, the last cool Brad Sugars party I got to go to was his 40th in Hawaii.
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest parties I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah,
and I remember that the after party, we'd had one too many drinks and everyone's dancing on the tables and I've reached down to grab a bottle of champagne and gone, yeah, thanks, buddy. And apparently it was like a $2,000 bottle of champagne that one of his business coach deal entrepreneur guys who had it at his wedding and he's like, yeah, whatever. But he didn't realize that until I saw the photos the next day. And I'm like, oh, shit, sorry. I don't think he cared. But we love you, Brad. Keep up the good work. Action coach, great business. Yeah, so he's one of your mentors.
Yep.
That's great. And so that's a really good way to get people to have a mentor in their life, and what were the advantages of it for you?
Well, it's pretty simple. You can either grow a business or live your life, same thing, through trial and error.
Yeah.
Do something, doesn't work, do something, takes you 20, 30 years. Or you find someone that's been there, done that, and says, here's what to do, here are the steps. You know, because someone else has already made the mistakes. They've invested a truckload of money, probably lost a bunch of money as well, but eventually they've sort of succeeded. So if you can just go to someone and say, here's all things not to do, here's all things to do, and if you follow this formula, you'll do it in kind of like 1/10 of the time, it just makes so much sense. So anytime I want to learn something, I find who's the best at it and what is it going to take for me to learn from them. And sometimes it's just like, you know, buying people lunch and things like that. But other times it's like, you know, pay some money buy an hour of their time or say, do you have some type of coaching program or how do I learn from you? And sometimes they might run events or workshops. So I've invested probably $500,000 myself in training courses, education, but as a result, I've made...
You can never stop learning, can
exactly.
you? Exactly. What's any courses you've done of late, other than your own?
Than my own that I present. So I do only 60 of my own a year.
Yeah,
so that keeps me busy. But last year, I went along to a conference in New York, which is all around artificial intelligence, which is one of the things that I'm into sort of right now.
Yeah.
So that went over 4 days, and it was kind of the who's who in terms of AI.
Was it hosted by AI? Hello, welcome. Yeah. I am a robot telling you what's going on in the AI world. Give me your money.
Not quite, but there were lots of examples of AI in action, which was pretty, you know, crazy. You can order like pizzas and Ubers and stuff like that just through, you know, talking to a home speaker now.
Isn't it messed up with the whole Amazon thing? Like, like Alexa has got like 20 microphones in it. I got it in my house and I was just like having a look online and see how this works because it's a form of AI.
Yes.
And I was doing a little digging. And I got in kind of a YouTube hole, like, you know, just sort of watching video after video and, you know, this is getting creepy. And I'm reading about Jeff Bezos and Amazon and how Amazon have a $600 million deal with the CIA and how Amazon is in 67% of homes in America. And it makes you think, hang on a minute, it can hear everything that's going on in my bedroom. Hello, how's your father? Good, thanks. And it's going up into the cloud.
Yeah.
And there's a deal with the CIA. I mean, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, and some, maybe on late on some Friday, Saturday nights, some would consider what I'm doing a little bit wrong. But that's doesn't that creep you out about AI?
And totally.
And people like Elon Musk saying that, you know, we got to be really careful with it because eventually it's going to control us. And like that movie, iRobot. I mean, was programmed into the code for the robots not to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
And by keeping them safe and locking them up and not and controlling their lives is the best way of not letting people get hurt. Do you ever worry about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think right now, for the next probably 4 or 5 years at least, you know, we're still going to be definitely able to contain things. However, there are some legitimate concerns once it really gets advanced that there will come a point in time where we reach something called general artificial intelligence, which basically means that because at the moment we've sort of got narrow artificial intelligence, which is really it's good at certain specific things, but it's not good at kind of like everything. But general artificial intelligence, it'll probably happen in the next maybe 15 to 20 years. And when it does,
what's it gonna do?
It will overtake us as humans in terms of it will become smarter than us in not just one or two disciplines, but in all disciplines.
But when you consider how fast technology's moved over the last 10 years, and AI is going in that same way, and it's probably going to go even faster once the AI kicks in.
So if you've been to America, you would have experienced, you know, Alexa in homes. It's just hitting Australia now.
Yeah.
And then Google has jumped on in because now people are bypassing Google because they just talk to Alexa and say, hey, Alexa, can you buy me this?
Order me this, order me that.
So Google kind of felt threatened. And so it's now has the Google Home, which does the same thing. And then Google Apple's launched one too, the HomePod. So there's these three massive tech companies now that are investing billions of dollars into artificial intelligence. And what you can do as a business owner is plug into that. And so you can sort of like someone will go to their Alexa and go, hey Alexa, I'd like to order some new bath towels, you know, who can I talk to? And it's like they just will go, oh, there's a company in Sydney that specializes in bath towels, would you like to speak to them? And you're not speaking to them specifically, you're speaking to their their AI.
What?
Yeah.
So the AI talks to that AI and correct. It's like transferring.
It's like transferring a call. And so then an AI kind of picks up and it's your AI, the one that you built that knows about your business and says, hey, I'm here to help you with your bath towels.
That blows my mind.
So it's
already crazy.
In America, you can talk to like Google Home and say, hey, Google Home, transfer me to Pizza Hut. And it says, transferring you now, beep, 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 beep. And then it goes, hello, this is Pizza Hut. And another AI kicks in and executes a task.
And all the while it's executing that task, it's saying to you, do you want the usual pepperoni pizza a can of Coke?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
Yeah. And it does all the ordering, exchanges the credit card details, does the transaction in like 5 seconds where we got to normally talk to someone on the phone for about, oh, please hold, and then they put the phone down while they're putting orders out and everything.
That's right.
That is crazy. That blows my mind. But that's ordering a pizza. What about when countries have their AI talk to another country's AI and they have a problem that they're trying to deal with and one AI doesn't agree with, their AI doesn't agree with it, and one AI launches a bomb and then we're all fucked.
Yeah, that could be the end.
But, okay, let's back up a few years because that sounds really interesting, that course that you did over there.
So that was one of the courses that I did recently. Yeah. And then that's part of what we're working on right now is we're going, how do we... Because the thing about... what you can now do is you can help people like at scale, like as I run a great business coaching company that works with around 500 business owners a year.
Yeah.
And we do a brilliant job of that, but it can't scale to, you know, 5,000 or 50,000 or 5 million.
Mm.
But an AI can scale indefinitely. An AI can have millions of conversations all at the same time.
Right. So this is this new app that you developed called Brin.
Yeah, it's called Brin.
It's like a Siri business coach.
Exactly.
And so you would ask it things like, hey, I want to sell more pancakes in my restaurant. How do I do that? And it goes, easy. You should pay this influencer because this influencer talks about pancakes every day. So
right now,
is that like that the extent of it? Or?
Yeah, you just it's a smartphone app, and at the moment it's free. You can download it. You search for Brin in the App Store, download it, and you can talk to it, and it talks back to you. And right now, we've programmed it to know the answer to more than 5,000 business questions. So if you go, how do I grow my business? How do I find more customers? How do I, or even things like definitions, like what is a convertible note, or how do I put together a employment contract, then it knows the answer to 5,000 questions. And every time someone asks a question it doesn't know the answer to, then we have a team of writers researching and then updating the brain to make it sort of like smarter and smarter and smarter. So that's our ultimate goal with Brin, is to create a virtual business advisor that can operate at scale and help millions of business owners all at the same time.
So is this AI in Brin, is that constantly learning as well, like scouring the internet for things that people might ask it about, like in the same way that Alexa Siri does?
Right now, you've got to kind of keep just feeding it with information. We can, if we want, just go find the information on Google and pull up the latest sort of search. But we kind of feel a sense of responsibility that the answers have got to be good because we're giving people business advice.
Yeah, you don't want to just trawling the internet.
And it's a bit like garbage in, garbage out. So you've really got to control the content. So every kind of question is, we go, yep, this is a genuine question, and we need to find a solid, reliable answer.
It kind of opens the doors on AI advertising. So if you've got an app, I'm not saying you necessarily do this with your one, but if someone says, hey, I need to start an employment contract, and then the AI is trained to say, hey, these guys are just up the road and they do AI contracts or employment contracts, and it just talks to their AI, sorts it out, the person who has the app gets a commission. So because I heard the other day as well that Google have announced that they're scanning all the audio, like they do anyway to make sure that there's no copyrighted music, but scanning all the audio and all the YouTube videos, and Facebook are doing this as well. So you can do a search for what people are talking about in the videos that they upload rather than just reading the text down the bottom. So there's a lot of information going around out there.
There is.
It's crazy. But so this app is something that people pay for and they use it in their everyday business?
Yeah, at the moment it's free. And we just did it as kind of like, something that was an experiment sprung out of my other company that I have. But it's now at the point whereby it's strong enough and smart enough to then start charging. So we'll have subscription services, which we'll be launching over the next couple of months. Because the other thing that we've done with the app as well, is we've created a library of training videos that go with it. And so right now there is around 1,000 training videos that are built into the app. So many people describe it as like the Netflix for business.
Oh, okay. And so people will ask it questions and then they say, hey, we've actually got a video that explains on how to do that.
So what Bryn does is she gives the best 100-word answer that she can. Mm-hmm. Like, so if someone goes, how do I franchise my business? It'll try to answer it in 100 words. But and then it will say, oh, by the way, if you'd like a video on this subject, I've got an expert in this area and you can watch the video now. Oh, so it's kind of like a little bit like a sort of a doctor and pharmacy type scenario. You go to the doctor and they ask a series of questions and go, aha, your problem is this. Now go to the pharmacy and get that.
Robo business doctor.
Exactly.
So these are videos that you've made? Or
we've set up a studio and we've created thousands of business training videos. So they're all in the app. So the app is available in the app store. We'll be just changing the name from Bryn. Bryn will still be there, but the app will be soon called Bizversity, which is
Bizversity.
Like Bizversity, which is like a business university. Cool. Our goal is to help millions of people around the world to learn how to start and grow a successful business.
So have you got anyone who's already using it? Anyone who it's worked for?
Yeah, it's nearly like I can show you right now, but we have people from all around the world that are using the app like as we speak.
Cool.
In fact, there's this thing that we have called the Global Leaderboard.
Oh, the Global Leaderboard.
And
where's Australia standing? Are we winning?
Australia's number one.
We didn't do very well in the winter games.
Yeah. But we've got Germany here. I can see Great Britain. I can see America. I can see Saudi Arabia. I can see Jamaica.
Oh, is that just like a behind the scenes board there, or is that something that everyone can see?
So this is something that everyone can see.
Oh, cool.
And it shows people who is the most active learner in the last 24 hours. Oh. And so Dina here has watched an hour and 47 minutes worth of training in the last 24 hours, which is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So you can see people all around the world.
Has anyone said to you, hey, this is really good, it's helping your business, thank you so much, it's an unbelievable app?
Yeah,
like what business in particular? Anyone you can
all different
off?
Types, but there's one lady we spoke to just last week. She's from Dallas, Texas, and
cool.
She runs a legal practice. Mm-hmm. And she's been listening to, she said, I'm a great lawyer, but no one ever told me how to run a business.
Mm.
And so she's been listening to Bryn on the to and from the our office, because we've got this cool little feature in the app where all the videos, you can touch a button and it turns them into a podcast. So you can stream just the audio if you want to as well. So we've made it really, really easy for people to consume content.
Mm.
And so she's an example where
that's cool.
Yeah, have people literally all around the world that are now using Bryn to start or learn about how to run a business.
That's great.
Mm.
People going to Bizversity.
Yes, Bizversity, exactly.
That's cool, man. Yeah. So tell us about Hands Across the Water.
So
that little badge that you've got there.
Little badge I've got here.
You've raised a fair bit of money for them.
We have, yeah. So, you know, I believe as an entrepreneur, you know, you have a responsibility to make lots of money, but so you can do good on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so having, you know, had a few, you know, successful businesses now and having developed, you know, properties and all those type of things, I thought to myself, okay, I just don't want it to be about, you know, me. I want to go, well, how can I use my business as a kind of a force for good? And so there's an Australian charity called Hands Across the Water that builds homes for children in Thailand. And it started after the Boxing Day tsunami, started by an Australian man who won the Order of Australia Medal. And so I said, yeah, we're going to start helping.
Why did you decide to work with them?
Because I interviewed him for one of my books and really loved his story. And what's really impressive about the charity is the structure of the charity. Most charities, if you look into their finances, probably 20%, maybe even as low as 10% of the money that is raised actually goes to the cause, whereas 80 to 90% gets caught up in salaries, administration costs, you know, overheads and all those type of things, and marketing as well. But with Hands Across the Water, 100% of all the money goes directly to the cause, because adjacent to the actual charity is a for-profit company, which it does other fundraising activities throughout the year that are to basically pay for all of the salaries and overheads. So the charity arm is completely free of any kind of like costs.
Commissions and all that kind of crap.
Exactly.
There's so many fundraising things online where you go and raise money for whatever thing you want to do, and like all these websites that take the money and then give it to the charity end up taking like 10% or...
Exactly.
And they're businesses. So
and even people on the street as well that are raising money, they're not normally representing...
Yeah, and they're getting a cut.
Exactly.
It's usually pommies on holidays. Yeah,
that's right.
Hello, Governor. Can we have a little chat about saving the sea leopards? Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay,
and I heard someone say that the first 3 years of the money you give to the Cancer Council, if it goes through one of those agencies, just goes to paying off that company for doing that marketing related activities.
Ridiculous.
And then after 3 years, eventually some funds start flowing through. Mm. So
that's why Charlie Teo just started his own organization, the Charlie Teo Foundation.
Because he was frustrated.
He's a brain surgeon and he was fed up with the organization he was working with before because they're getting business class flights everywhere and spending all this money on all their staff.
Exactly.
But now he's started up a new one, and that's who I'm raising money for in the Mongol Rally. And
awesome.
The Charlie Teo Foundation starts up. It'll only be in existence in the next couple of weeks because they're still getting approved as a charity. So it's a dodgy world, though, isn't it? There's so many charities out there that... And I've emceed a lot of functions over the years.
Yep.
And they start bringing out all this charity stuff that's been donated or whatever. And then you realize that, there's... the charity money is actually paying for this whole event for this law firm or whatever it is. And then only a percentage of it actually goes to the charity and the guy that's putting on the event. It's such a dodgy world when it comes to fundraising, isn't it?
Yeah, but unfortunately there are some great people out there.
That's good that you found the right one, hands across the water.
And so we do a number of fundraising events each year, but our main one is a bike ride in Thailand. And so each year I take a group of 50 entrepreneurs to Thailand and each person commits to raising a certain amount of money. And we ride from Bangkok to Khao Lak
on a
bicycle. It's 500 kilometers that we ride in 5 days.
Are you serious?
So, and at the end we get to arrive at one of the homes that we support there, which has over 100 kids that we support. So
and they must cook your dinner. Because you're hungry after a big long ride.
We have a long ride, but thankfully they just bring in some of the locals.
And how long have you been doing that for?
So I've been doing that for the last 5 years.
Wow. So you've been riding every year for five years?
Yeah, every year.
You speak any Thai?
Just a little bit.
Sawadika.
Yeah, Sawadika. All that stuff.
Katoi.
Yeah.
Katoi. You know what that is? How do you know?
Tell me last time.
Oh, yeah. Ladyboy.
Okay.
If you're at a restaurant, you just point Thai restaurant, you go, hey, katoi. And Thai people are always like, what? No, katoi. I love Thailand. Amazing place.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Good on you for doing that.
Yeah, so it's good. We've raised about $1 million over the last 5 years now.
Wow. And you go there every year and you see the difference it makes.
Go there every year, see the kids. The kids grow up and they're super grateful. And many of them are now going to university through the support of Hands Across the Water. Mm. And so it's a great cause, really passionate about it and just love, sort of giving back. I think it's...
you've got to give back.
Exactly.
Mm. So you've got a couple other businesses you're mentioning.
Yeah. So
is there a property business or something? Or?
Yeah, I've just invested in property. That's all.
What's the property market doing at the moment? Because I can only see it going up and up and up. Houses in Sydney are such a damn ripoff.
Of course. And it's going to continue to grow up. Yeah, of course, it's maybe grown quite a lot in the last 3 years. Mm. And so it's sort of definitely slowing.
Do you reckon it's going to crash? Some people say it's going to crash. It's not going to crash.
It's just media hype. It's bullshit. It's not going to crash. Like, I think the latest stats are 3,000 people a week are moving to Sydney. 3,000 people a week, either through immigration or either through people moving from the countryside. So this whole idea about, it's going to crash, it might go down by 3 or 4, 5% max.
More and more people constantly moving to Australia.
Never going to crash.
Unless Tony Abbott has his way. He came out the other day and said that we need to cut our immigration. Too many people moving to Australia.
Bullshit.
We've got a big country.
We do have a massive country.
He brought up the valid point is, let's build the infrastructure first and then start inviting people. Like, let's make the roads bigger. Let's put in more schools. Let's put in more hospitals and then say, right, now we can actually handle it. But can we handle it now?
I think immigration is the best thing Australia can do. Like, I look at people like... there's so many of them that have come here and set up amazing businesses. Mm. And I think that it's investing in our future, having people come and they work really hard and they call Australia home, and you've seen them all now become successful either in business or in sports or in other areas. Mm. So I think immigration's a wonderful thing.
Hey, we're immigrants.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only ones that aren't are the Aboriginals.
Exactly right.
They deserve their own day.
Yeah.
Everyone's complaining about Australia Day. Move Australia. Give them their own day. Mm. And move Australia Day if it upsets some people.
Yeah.
As long as we don't cancel it. I still want to celebrate being Australian.
Sure.
And the new Australians. I got to host an Australia Day ceremony this year.
Nice.
So much fun.
Yeah.
All these people from all over the world becoming Australians, had them all cheering.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great fun.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What's next for me is just to continue to help people with the two main businesses that I have. Obviously, Bizversity through the app, that's for a global audience and helping people everywhere. But closer to home, Australia and New Zealand, my main program is called Business Blueprint, but I do run free events, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, the free event.
Free events.
We want something for free.
Yeah.
These people who have watched this whole show right now, where is the free thing that you promised? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's called 52 Ways. And for 10 years, I've been helping business owners and I've been sharing lots and lots of ideas. There are some ideas that just kind of go, just people go, oh, I love that, or I love that, I did this and it really worked. So I thought, what about if I just all this stuff that really works for people and just put it into one day, and I just sort of did 10 minutes on each point, that'll be a pretty awesome event. So I call it 52 Ways because quite literally I teach 52 different things that you could do to your business to grow it.
One thing every week.
Exactly, one thing every week. And so that way it's achievable, because otherwise, you know, people go, they get all these ideas, they get overwhelmed, they don't know what to do. So I just say, just do one per week. And so we give everyone a workbook.
Like what? What's on week one?
What's on week one? Well, there's a tool that we use called Google Sites to help people to create a company intranet, take everything out of their head and start documenting it into a central location. We talk about how to use project management software. We even give the people the tools that we recommend.
A lot of people are using that. I've heard of Google Sites, and it's like sort of running their whole business infrastructure through Google. Is that sort of what that is?
Yeah, not quite. There is something called G Suite, which is the it's Google's a suite of Google products for business owners. Like most people have heard of Gmail, they've heard of Google Calendar, Google Drive, Google Docs, all those type of things. And yeah, it replaces kind of like Microsoft Word and you know, manages your email and manages your calendar and all that stuff, and everything syncs to the cloud.
Yeah, so that's sort of what you're
teaching. Yeah, so there's one part of G Suite which is called Google Sites, which is basically like having a website, but it's not a website for the public, it's a website for you and your staff. It's like an internal website, also known as an intranet. And so
what would people put there for their business, just like explaining what's going on that week?
Well, it's basically the sum total of your company knowledge, because most business owners, how they do what they do is all in their head, or it's in their staff's head.
Right. But ideas, they have creative stuff, whatever.
Everything from how to answer the phone, how to make a cup of coffee, how to you know, turn on and off the alarm, how to set up your, you know, email signature, how to apply for annual leave. It's just because so much stuff is just in people's heads, and if it is in your head as the business owner, you become the bottleneck of your business.
Yeah, and then you don't have to train everyone every time a new person starts. You can go and look at this website. It's the internet site.
There's 25 steps,
and they can log on to that anywhere. That's cool. Anyway, I won't go through all 52 ideas, but that sounds cool. When are you doing that event?
I've got some coming up in May and then August, I believe. So every 3 or 4 months, we do a national tour.
Cool.
So the website's called 52 Ways, with an S on there, 52ways.com. And so people can go there, get free tickets.
Don't go to 52 Positions. That's a completely different site.
Completely different site, yeah. So 52 Ways, it's free. You can register, bring your friends, and for a whole day, you'll get awesome content.
That's amazing.
Look at you
giving back to the world. Must feel good.
It does feel good. Like I like helping people. It's one of my highest values, and I do that through teaching, you know. And so if I can continue to just offer help and inspiration and ideas and advice, then it makes the world a better place. So,
nice. Well, good on you, Dale Beaumont. You're an amazing human. What's your daily ritual when you wake up in the morning? Like, some people like to have not touch phones or social media for the first hour of the day, or some people meditate, or, you know, go for a run. What do you do to get your day started?
Yeah, so I run 3 times a week, and then on the weekend, so like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on the weekend, I normally go for a bike ride for about 40 or 50 Ks. But one of the things I've been into lately that has been working quite good is intermittent fasting. So this...
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So this is this concept of basically saying this, you know, we never used to eat 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
You know, that's really only a modern day phenomenon. It's only been the last sort of like, you know, sort of like 50 years.
Because we used to go out hunting for the food when we were
exactly
hungry.
And we wouldn't sort of sometimes eat for a day or 2 days, and that would be completely kind of like normal.
And doesn't your senses get heightened when you you're hungry, because
absolutely
it's your body telling you you've got to go out and hunt for food.
And yeah, and it's your body uses a lot of energy to digest food. Now,
are you fasting now?
So I do a modified version. So this is how it works. Rather than fasting for days at a time, you fast for 16 hours a day.
Yeah, wow.
And you eat in an 8-hour window. So basically, it's just instead of having 3 meals a day, you basically have 2 meals a day. I wake up and I don't eat anything until midday. So midday, I'll have lunch, normally a salad or something.
Most people do that because they're busy. Just missed breakfast again.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good
thing.
It
makes you work faster. Work
that's
faster.
Right.
And your body's actually saying, get some food, but you're going, get some money, get things moving.
You don't have to focus on food, you just focus on getting stuck into your day.
Is that a theory that's called something?
Yeah, it's called intermittent fasting. There's different versions of it, but this one's called like 16 by 8, and it's and the whole idea is that you don't eat for 16 hours a day and you eat in an 8-hour window. So you have lunch and then you have dinner and then you won't eat till 12 o'clock the next day. So every single day, your body's getting 16 hours of rest, where it doesn't have to...
All your internal organs aren't working on the food or whatever.
You don't have to process food. And it's really quite interesting because like the first week, I really struggled with it because your brain is like... not that your body doesn't really need food. I've proven now that, you know, I didn't act... But your mind is addicted to just eating. Like every 3 or 4 hours, it's like, I need food. But when you can break that sort of addiction, you realize that... you know, you don't need to have anywhere near as much food as what, marketers would like us to consume.
Exactly. You don't have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah. And, you know, dessert and snacks and all that other sort of like stuff.
Are you off sugar?
Overeat. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sugar's poison, man.
Sugar.
Especially refined sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, there's good sugars, obviously, in food.
So I've lost about 5 kilos in the last month.
Yeah, you used to be a bit chubby.
Yeah, be a bit chubby.
Okay.
And it's helping me on the bike ride, which
life
is
life on the road.
Good.
Was good to you.
Yeah. Nice. That's right. I was eating way too much.
So that's cool. Good. Yeah, I might look into that.
I feel like I can give that a whirl. Not just feel lighter, but feel more energetic as well, more focused, more just alert. Made a big difference.
Do you drink?
I'd probably drink once a week. So during the week, I don't really drink, but on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, so like whatever's going, if I'm over someone's place, whatever, I'll drink. But I try not to, have like a glass of wine every single night. So I'll just normally just...
We've really analyzed you, haven't we? Yeah, eating habits. What you're doing, your business.
Yeah, charity
your
stuff.
Your incredible app, Bryn, it's going to be BizVersity.
Yep.
The charity.
Exactly.
We've dug inside out and all over you and figured everything out.
So anything left or?
I've got nothing left. Have you got anything more you'd like to pour out?
No, just that, I've enjoyed the chat. Good to share a bit about what I'm up to, and hopefully some people find it, somewhat inspiring and just do something with what I've learned. You know, the BizVersity app is awesome because it's free and you can just download it. And then the one-day workshop is also awesome if you're in Australia or New Zealand.
Just give us those websites again that people can go to.
Yeah, so that's 52ways.com. And you can register for our next free workshop. It's designed for people that have a business. However, if you're thinking about starting a business, it's also a good idea to come as well, because you just kind of learn about what works and what doesn't work ahead of time, which is handy. And then if you want to find out more, then you can go to BizVersity, and it's BIZ and then VERISTY, BizVersity, .com.
And download Bryn and check out his AI.
Exactly.
That's so cool. Dale Beaumont,
thanks
for being on the mic.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.